What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Thank you guys for being here. I want you to leave a like and a comment below. Please subscribe, 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 you know, so you can get these early drops, these hot exclusives I'm giving to you. Man, we're going to jump into this right here. So today I got a close special guest, a stranger to some, but not to many. Let me read this man's resume for you just briefly so you can understand where we're coming from today. A graduate of CK McClatchy. After McClatchy, went on to CRC, played 2 years there. After that, went to Cal State East Bay. However, currently in his roles right now, you may know him as Mr. KDEE himself. Also, you can find this gentleman, my homeboy, on ESPN Radio, man, daily with his homeboy D-Lo, and his show is crazy, man. Sacramento native dude, Kenny Caraway. What's up, my dog? What's up, Kenny?
Man, my brother, man, from way back. We go, this is Hooped Up. I think I was in the sixth grade.
Right.
You might have been in the seventh, yep. Man. Hoop It Up, but we didn't even know it went even further than that.
That's
2-3 years old, rolling around on the carpet, crawling around.
Hey, crazy how history come back around self, man. And definitely already, I mean, give you the fives right now, brother. And I'm going to tell you this, too. Definitely when I was on your show, the one of the reasons why I got into this right now as well is because seeing you do it and how much fun we have, but also how in depth we take our jobs, how we take our serious, talk about sports and life, but also feeding the others. And it was playing to me back then in your house in the front room recording.
It was the first guest I ever had on KC.
Man,
let me just say, I know we're on 94 feet, but it's been too long, man. We got to change that. We got to do a home and home right now, man. You know, I'm on you. You got to come on my
show,
man, for real.
Yeah, man. And coming from being in the lab late night recording that late night stuff, Kenny, man, it's come a long way, bro. And I again giving you your props right now, brother, because the proof is in the work. Like I said, man, the proof is in the work. The grind is there, man, showing, but in the energy. Always being you. Always taking, you know what I'm saying?
So
much props. But as the show says, too, 94 feet, you know, we got to get into it, man. So I'm going to jump right into it. And before we do the background about yourself, just give me a background about has it always been basketball for you, Kenny, or what other sports was it growing up, man, at an early age, bro?
I mean, the first thing was baseball. You know, I'm over there, Airport Little League, over 24th in Florence. You know, that's where I was getting it in. It's from day one. That's the first thing I did was pick up a baseball. And I was pretty good. I think I was pretty good at it. Played until I was about 11 or so. And then basketball came around. You know, before that, I would go to Kevin Johnson Summer League over at Sac High and everything. And I was playing both, and then I remember it was weird, man. Just one day I had practice for All-Stars with baseball, and I had basketball practice after that, and I was just in the outfield like, man, I can't wait for baseball practice to be over so I can go play basketball.
Yeah.
And I made that team, and that was the last time I played baseball. To be honest with you, Jay, it was like the worst decision I ever made. I wish my dad or my mom would have been like, I don't care what you think you're doing. You playing base. You're doing both. You know what I'm saying? I should have never stopped playing because you know how it is. I mean, all that does is just gives you more options, man. You know, and when trying to get school paid for, trying to play professionally or whatever, you put all your eggs in the basketball basket. That's cool. That's a lot. You grind at it. But if you got some kind of skill or some kind of passion for another sport, playing both, man. You know, we come from the generation where they play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. It ain't just basketball or just football or just baseball. It's like, oh, it's basketball season now, boom, transition into baseball season, boom, transition into football, you know what I mean? So should have kept playing, man. It was baseball first.
And we talk about them M's right now look different on that baseball field, boy.
Oh man, it's great. That boy Tatis, boy. Ooh, come on,
man,
now.
Take care of everybody, bro. So you leave the baseball alone, you put the ball in your hands. Who was the idol, man? I mean, I got my views. I know I've seen you growing up too, but just verbally let them know who was people you was looking up to or on the court doing your mirrors emulating.
I mean, it was Mike, and to be honest with you, with the whole baseball thing, I mean, Mike had a whole lot to do with that. There was nobody cooler in this world than Michael Jordan, and he played basketball, so I wanted to play basketball. And that's where all that came from. You know, that's the guy that I tried to be like. I remember when I would play at Kevin Johnson Summer League, looking back at it now, it's hilarious, but I would go in there and I'd be playing, and I was probably in the third, fourth grade or whatever. But I attacked the basket and somebody would come to block the shot and I'd like turn around and spin and go over my head, try to do like Jordan and everything. Yeah. And I remember this kid, he used to be like, man, quit trying to be like Jordan out here, man. Quit trying to do the Jordans. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just out here trying to make a layup. Like, no, nah, I was trying to be like Mike, throw it over my head, do all this crazy stuff. But yeah. I mean, that's what I saw. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like Mike, like everybody else. There wasn't a more fitting commercial and campaign to be like Mike, because I wanted to be like Mike, man. Yeah. So that was the guy right there.
That's what's up. So I'm going to jump right to the high school era. We're going to skip middle school ball. We jump right to this C.K. McClatchy. How did you end up at C.K. McClatchy High School?
Well, it's funny because you know where I grew up, man. I grew up right on Florence Road and Havenside.
Right.
That is literally a stoplight from Kennedy.
Right.
And my mom, you know, she had I don't know why she didn't want me to go to Kennedy. I think at the time, Kennedy, this is late 90s. I think Kennedy had a reputation of being a little bit of a rough school or whatever. But looking back at it now, just knowing the neighborhood it's in Green Haven, I'm sure it's much like McClatchy, where you get a little bit of everything. You get your kids that come from Meadowview that go to Kennedy, and then you got your kids that live around the corner in Green Haven that go to school there. So you get your blend of everything. But I think, you know, it had a little reputation of being a little rough. And on top of that, she knew Mr. Withrow over at McClatchy, and she had kind of talked to him. And I was actually going to go to Johnson. I was going to go to West Campus coming out of middle school. And she knew Mr. Withrow. Mr. Withrow was like, nah, man, bring him over here. And I got over to McClatchy. I had to do ROTC for a year to get over there. So I was in Air Force ROTC my freshman year.
Okay.
But yeah, that's how I got to McClatchy. And I'm sure with you being over there, BJ and Dave, all the people, I'm sure I would have had a great time at Kennedy, but I loved McClatchy.
Yeah.
I loved McClatchy. I had a blast over there.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Shout out to Mr. Withrow, man. He's a great man, man. To be somebody should be your goal, man. I'm always remember that poem, to be somebody. You get to McClatchy. And again, knowing the work you put in prior to whatever, basketball, was it goals of playing varsity coming in as a freshman, or was it like, okay, I got to just get in where I fit in and try to make my own stamp and put my foot in this thing?
Nah, man, you know, oddly enough, I didn't know much about high school basketball going into high school.
Hmm.
You know, I remember there was a guy that I knew from the Salvation Army. I wish I could remember his name, but he took me to Modesto versus Wilsey Woods playoff game. Because he knew a cat at Modesto, and they had a playoff game when I was in eighth grade, and he took me. And that was the first high school game I can remember going to. I didn't know much of anything about high school. I didn't know about rivalries. I didn't know about history, none of that. So I say all that to say, when I was coming into McClatchy, it was just like they had a basketball team. I'm a freshman. I'm going to play freshman, and that's what I'm going to try out for. And that's kind of what it was. And I kind of came out of nowhere. I went to Our Savior Lutheran. It was a K-8 private school. Nobody really knew about me. I played at the Salvation Army for a number of years, and I knew some people through that, but I didn't have no kind of buzz or anything. Everybody at McClatchy was coming from Cal. Cal was a dope team. So, you know, it was just like, oh, Sam, Aaron, Bo, like, yeah, they coming over. And oddly enough, our guy, James Kerlock, we played in the same Lutheran school league. Mm-hmm. And he went to Gloria Day. I went to Our Savior. And that's how I knew him. And his team, they were dominant, obviously, because of James. James was huge. We had no answer. And then they had two other guys that were pretty good. So they were always dominant. But coming into McClatchy, I was freshman. That's what I was going to play. That's what I was going to go for. And it was a little bit intimidating, you know, all these guys over there knowing each other already and me not knowing anybody. But luckily enough, they were all a bunch of great guys. As the school year went along, before we even got to basketball tryouts, I had classes with them. I knew them, had talked to them by the time we played at lunch, you know, so they knew I could do a little something. So by the time tryouts came around, it was just like, oh yeah, Kenny gonna be on the squad, like da 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 da. And yeah, it was
on the popping. So coming from the private Christian school, then you get some McClatchy, the numbers. What was it like for you, even as a freshman level, whatever, playing in those, again, the local Kennedy-McClatchy game or the McClatchy whatever game, seeing those crowd of people? How was that vibe? Because I'm sure going from small crowd in middle school to where it's like this is a yearly thing that goes on for multiple sports. How was that feeling for those people?
Man, I had no idea, and it felt great. The first time we played, I think I might have got a taste of it from football that Kennedy was a big deal. Obviously, you got it from Jesuit. You know, whenever you play Jesuit, mm-hmm. that was a big deal. But the first time we played Jesuit, it was in a Bear River. I don't know why I remember this, but it was a Bear River tournament my freshman year. Antoine Sutton was on the squad, and I think Caesar Dennis was on the squad too. But it was like, yo, we playing Jesuit. And remember, I didn't know nothing about high school. I was like, okay, well, what's the big deal about them? And, you know, they just had a different feel when we was on the court, man. And immediately I knew what it was. I knew it was like, oh, this is serious. This is big time. And we played them. A couple weeks later, we played in the Mariloma at the freshman tournament. And we played Kennedy in the semifinals of that game. And that just had different energy, man. That had different energy going up against Kennedy. You know, the crowd was up in there, and they knew what time it was. I didn't know what time it was, but they knew what time it was, and I could feel that. Had a good game against them. I think I had a double-double. I think I had like 14 points and assists. Then people was like really excited about that. We played Jesuit again in a championship, lose to them in that game. And from then on, from those three games, it was like, oh, okay, this is what it is. We play Kennedy, we play Jesuit. It's different. It's different. You know what I'm saying? And it was a blast. I loved it. I love that type of energy. I love that type of atmosphere. You get to the point where, you know, you're playing at each other's home gyms and it's always packed. And I mean, I loved it. It was so much fun playing at Kennedy, especially like I didn't know anybody outside of you guys. I didn't really know anybody in the neighborhood, but knowing that's like basically in my backyard, it was like, oh yeah, this is cool. This is some good stuff. So it was always a good time.
So going from your freshman year, right? And like I said, we know now, I mean, you've trained, you work out kids, you've coaching. How much time would you say personally you put in going from your freshman year to that sophomore year, as far as let me work on my craft, because you know what, I'm going to do more, I'm going to be more. How much time would you put in on a daily to weekly basis?
Man, it was every day without a shadow of a doubt. And I'd say, I ain't going to tell you nothing crazy. Like, I'm not going to say it was like 8 hours. It wasn't like that, but it'd be like an hour, 2 hours every day. But you know what the difference was, Jay? And I love what I do. I know you love what you do. We had no trainers. My mom didn't say, yo, you need to go play. I wanted it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be better. So oddly enough, I lived down the street from Kennedy. I would run down mm-hmm. Havenside, go to the back of the Kennedy High School, and I'd be at Kennedy mm-hmm. getting better every day on the blacktop, bro. Yep. On the blacktop. Yes, hey, that's what I did. I used to go to one of the 20 baskets that they had out there in the back of the school. Right. And I'd go out there and I'd play. I'd watch a game, usually a college game, maybe sometimes an NBA game too. I'd, you know, get fueled up by that. And then I'd dribble all the way down there, the half a mile or whatever to the school, and I'd play. And I'd do that every day. I had a basketball hoop in my backyard, and I would play there. Eventually, it got moved to the front of the house. I would play there. But I did it all on my own. Nobody told me, like, yo, you need to be working on this. You need to be playing. I just played on my own. And I did that every single day. You know what I'm saying? And I eventually get better and better. And, you know, sometimes on a Sunday or something like that, you'd hit me up, like, yo, we're at Reichman. All right, bet. Ride my bike over there. I'm over there in 20 minutes, and we're there until all the games are done.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it was. That's what we did. And I don't knock it, because I know it's a different time, and I'm part of that culture now, being a trainer. But we ain't no trainers, man. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just got it in. Even if we had a trainer, the way it is right now, I'm only seeing them one time a week.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do the other 6 days?
Right.
I'm out there hooping. Right. You know what I mean? So
where would you say, bro, where does that work ethic, that drive come from, though? Where does that come from?
Man, it came from, you know, it came internally. I can't think of anybody that really pushed me. You know, my mom, she encouraged me. She gave me credit, or like gave me confidence to say I can do whatever I want to do. You know, just put my mind to it, and I can be whoever I want to be. But I just, It was just internally. I just wanted to be better. I wanted to get better, you know, and it's a little competitive nature that I have within myself where, you know, I would be battling. I say it all the time. I'd be playing against Ghost. You know what I mean? I had you never even heard this. I had a rivalry against you guys. You guys didn't even know. You know what I'm saying? I'd go to the court and I'd be like, man, JT, BJ, they gave me some work over there at Reichmuth, man. Like, they went to work on me. I can't let that happen again. I can't. They're going to call me in about a week or maybe even 2 weeks. And I need to be prepared. That can't happen again. So in the 7 days or 14 days that I had before I saw you guys again on the court, yeah, y'all didn't know. All 13 days, I was out there shooting, working on my handles. Because when I saw you guys again, y'all big bros because y'all older, but y'all can't do what you did to me last time. I can't let that happen. You know what I'm saying? And that's just what it was. I used to go play with Samuel Long. Me and him would meet up in Lisbon. And we would work out, and then we would play one-on-one. And Sam was more advanced than me at that time. So, you know, I'd get some wins in or whatever. Like, if I had to take a guess, if we played 20 games, Sam might win 12, I win 8 or whatever. But I'd be like, man, all right, I'm about to see Sam later at 6 o'clock. I'm going to go up there about an hour earlier so I can get some work in and work on some stuff because Sam can't beat me like he beat me last. Like, that can't happen. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But that's what drove me. I didn't want to lose. I didn't ever want to lose. And I understood that losing was part of what I was doing. But I had to work to the point where, like, nah, it can't happen.
Yeah.
It can't happen. Like, I gotta get mine. I got to win. So that's kind of where that came from. I guess just not wanting to lose, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's not in everybody, but that's what's right. Up. Got to ask a question. So let's say your junior year, y'all squad was loaded. Y'all was loaded y'all junior year. A few seniors, but super juniors. Playing those games, actually those 2 years back-to-back, your junior and senior year, how much of energy did you feel going into those two seasons as far as just each game meant something? Metro League, crazy. Christian Brothers, Jesuit, Kennedy, McClatchy, the Burbank, Shack High, no nights off at Metro. How did you go about preparing for yourself game after game, bro?
Man, it's just, to be honest with you, it's making sure that I was prepared by doing what I was supposed to do in practice, by doing what I was supposed to do outside of practice, working on my game. Like, the other thing, and this kind of goes into what you just asked me before, is the other thing that motivated me to get better was I didn't want to be embarrassed. And I was just going to work and work and work and to the point where the game was going to be easier. You know what I'm saying? The game was going to be, oh, yeah, I got teammates to help me around now. And, you know, I'm getting a wide open. Somebody set me up for a shot. It was going to be easier. And that's because I put in the work before. You know, before we got to the game, I put in that work. So by the time it's like anything else. I tell my son, I tell the guys that I work with, if I got a test, a math test, and I didn't open the math book at all, come the time I'm ready to take the test, I'm going to be scared out of my mind because I was like, I'm not prepared for this. But if I went over it and I worked at the lesson plan and I went over and over and over and again, and I tested myself multiple times before the actual test, there ain't nothing to be worried about. Ain't nothing to be afraid of. So that's kind of how I prepared for, especially that junior year, because I didn't know what I was getting into playing varsity basketball. I was nervous. Mm-hmm. I was scared. I saw you guys up there on varsity. I was like, I got to be ready because these dudes can go. You know what I'm saying? I saw Burbank. You know what I'm saying? I saw Sac High. I saw Christian Brothers Jesuit. I got to be ready. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that prepared me game in and game out is how I would approach the practice that we would have that day before and that week leading up or whatever. And some of the things I would do outside of practice, getting extra shots up, things of that nature. So
that's what's up. And for those that don't know, y'all got to do y'all history. My man's been a bucket from all sides of the court. And he'll tell you about it too during the gameplay. So don't let it fool you.
Ain't nobody talking more than me. I don't say much, but if you get me going, I'm gonna start going.
Yeah, for sure. From all aspects, and that's the thing right now. I think we've always valued. We could talk each other head off during the game. After the game, it's like it never happened. It's like it never happened. But the games would be crazy, baby. The crazy would be crazy. And how talk about how personal we took it. I never wanted to lose to Kenny and Aaron and Sam. We never did until we left. Then he could go ahead and take the reins, which I was okay with. But it was such a competitiveness for us from off the court, being friends, being family. But then came game time. It's like we all had something to prove for our schools, and we gave it everything, man. So successful junior year, senior year for sure successful. You make those runs. Real quick, tap on just playing on that Arco floor a couple times. Just how was that feeling? Because, you know, I mean, I could never imagine it either. First playing there, then getting the coach there again, I don't know. I'll never forget that, man.
Nah, man, that's something that's going to live with me forever, man. And that we only made it our junior year when we played Jesuit in the city section semifinals. But, I mean, that was – that you can't – it don't get no bigger than that in high school, man. Playing on that Arco floor at that time, we're talking early 2000s. The Kings are the Kings. And you playing on the same floor that Jay Will's on, that Chris Webber's on, and the lights are bright. And you know how it is, man. The student body shows
crazy.
Up. You know, you get guys, you know, from all over to say, I'm one of those guys now. I don't care who's playing at now Golden One Center. I'm going to the high school playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you get guys like that all around the city who are just there to see you because you're in the playoffs. And at the time that we played on that Thursday night, we were the last game. So we were like the 8 o'clock game. I think you guys played Valley before us. And then we played Jesuit at like 8 o'clock or something like that. So, you know, it's feeling like prime time. Man, it was one of the best moments of my life. I played pretty good that game. So, you know, to hear some of the things that I did, get oohs and ahs, like, oh, I had a little up and under or whatever. And then, you know, having a crowd get hyped off that and cheer, like, it's, as you can see, 20, 25 years later.
Still bring chill.
I remember like it's yesterday, man.
Yes, sir. Coming out of that senior year, I know we now, you know how recruiting stuff is big, everybody – let's talk about recruitment or letters, opportunity. What was next for Kenny at that point? Like, you knew it was D1 somewhere, or what was on the table then?
Nah, man, it was – I knew it was going to be JC. And at the time, after my junior year, I got into a basketball class at Sac City with Coach Jones. And we were playing up against Sid was in that class. Mm-hmm. Nick was in that class. Paul, so me and Bo, we were juniors in high school playing in that class at Sac City. And, you know, we held our own. It was like they were showing us some love, you know. So I think to fast forward just a quick second, Coach Jones, he told me later on, he didn't really recruit me because he thought it was in the bag. He was like, he went to McClatchy. They were in the spring class and their junior year. They come in here. It's all good. At the time, I kind of felt some type of way about that. What he said makes perfect sense now as I'm an adult. But as a 17-year-old kid, I felt some type of way about that because I was like, man, he ain't even really showing me that he want me. Well, I ain't going to go to City then. Like, I'm cool off City. And Coach Katz, he's head coach at Sac State now. He was at Delta at the time. And he recruited me really heavy to come there. Looking back, probably should have went there. But at the time, I just wasn't ready to leave. It sounds crazy because Delta's in Stockton. Right. But at the time, I was like, I wasn't ready to leave home. So, you know, I stayed. Coach Clark, RIP to him. Coach Jim Clark at CRC, he showed a lot of interest in me. And it just, you know, even with Coach Jones not really recruiting me the way I thought I should have been, I probably still wouldn't have gone to City because I wanted to do something different. You know, everybody from McClatchy was going to City, like basketball or not, like everybody was going over there. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to blaze my own trail. So I knew at that time it was going to be the JC. It was just really between City, CRC, and Delta. And, you know, CRC, it gave me the opportunity to shine a little bit, man. Coming from McClatchy, we had a lot of good ball players. At that time, it was a little unheard of. We had six guys on that team that played college ball, and that was a lot at that time. So saying that, like, everybody kind of had to sacrifice.
Yep.
So I was kind of done sacrificing. I wanted to do my thing a little bit, and CRC gave me that opportunity. So that's kind of where I decided.
It just renewed the rivalry a little longer. We got to play against each other another year.
Yeah. We just moved it to another level.
That's facts though, because that JC game is different. Real quick, then hit on that. How much difference from high school JC for you overall? What was the big difference? The biggest difference?
Looking back, I didn't feel like there was much difference. I think everybody could play. You know, everybody could play. Everybody was a little scrappy. It was a little physical. But I didn't really have a hard time getting used to it. You know, it was just something where, you know, maybe the first couple of weeks, you get used to the physicality. And then after that, it's just hoop. Like I said, everybody's got a little bit of skill, you know, at that time, you know. And at that time, if you're really continuing to play, it's because you want to continue to play. It's because you want to, you know, move forward with the game. So, I think that's kind of the thing that stuck out to me, but it wasn't as much of a difference as maybe I thought. But once again, JT, I was scared to death that I was going to fail. So I worked my butt off to make sure that I was ready by the time I got to that next level. So when I got there, maybe it wasn't a drastic change or I didn't feel overwhelmed because of all the work that I put in that summer going in there. Because I was scared to fail. I didn't want to fail. So I used that fear as motivation to just keep on working, and maybe that's what helped the transition.
One thing, that transition, a bucket is a bucket no matter where you went. I will say that, still having to guard you, it never was easy. I'm always say that, it never was easy, but I had a one up on everybody because I didn't watch them for years, so I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, or help my point guard out, like, you better be ready because he's going to shoot from anywhere. So you go through CRC. How do you end up at East Bay?
Man, so CRC, after my freshman year there, I had a really good season average, I think like 17 or 18 points a game. And UOP was like showing interest. They were sending letters and getting in contact with the coaches. And it even had me come down there and playing some of their open runs. And that was after the freshman year. So the sophomore year was kind of more of the same. And, you know, as far as my production, the team wasn't as good. It was in disarray. Coach Clark had, I think he had just gotten cancer at that point. And it was just kind of in a tailspin as far as who was there. Shout out to Coach Mike Rubel, shout out to Coach Wall, now at Folsom. Great coaches for what they've done since Consumeness, but at that particular time, they were trying to find their footing, and it was a crazy time. So I say that to say, Coach Wilder, shout out to him. I think it was kind of, I don't know if it was a foregone conclusion or they thought it was, but everybody thought I was going to UOP. And I was getting, like, they were telling me later, like, I would get letters from different schools and they just wouldn't even get them to me because they thought, yeah, you're about to go to UOP. Wow. So my grades weren't really popping. The team wasn't as good as it was the year before. And UOP just kind of went away. So, like, I didn't have them going on. None of the coaches were really helping me in that aspect of getting somewhere else. So, for lack of a better term, I was kind of ass out. So I ended up not playing it for a year. I just went to school and just kind of kept playing basketball. And after my second year at CRC, that took a lot out of me. I was that kind of drained. I was like, I just wanted that season to be done with. And, you know, I kind of lost a little bit of the love. But somewhere between like December and January of that year I was off, I was like, nah, I want to do this. Like, I want to get back at it. So I was playing, I was working out, and I was sending letters. Literally, I just, you know, I'm old, guys. This is early time on the internet where, you know, I just went to the internet and found addresses for every coach and emails and that I could think of from Oregon all the way down to San Diego.
The long way. Wow.
Yeah, man. And I just sent them an email with my letter, like, hey, I played. This is my resume. This is what I'm doing. I'm looking for an opportunity, man. You got, you know, a spot or anything like that. And only school that hit me back was UC Riverside. And they were like, well, we can't promise you anything, but this is when we have open gym. You can come down and play. Probably should have went down there and played, but I was like, I can't get down to Riverside to play in an open gym. Like, I can't do that. So I went back to Coach Katz. And when I told Coach Katz I wasn't coming to Delta out of high school, I called him and I said, hey, Coach, I know you've been recruiting me pretty heavy. I'm not going to come to the school. I just want to give you the heads up so you don't, you know, it doesn't hang up with your recruiting. And he was like, oh, I appreciate that. That was cool. Fast forward 3 years later, I called Coach Katz. And if you know anything about Coach Katz, at that time, he was getting everybody to a four-year. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter if you were the star player or you played 0 minutes on the whole season. He was like, yo, this is what I do. I get kids to 4 years. And he had a long list of the resume of all the kids that he had gotten somewhere. So I remember that, and I called him. I said, hey, Coach, I know I didn't go there. I know, you know, I played against you or whatever, but I'm in a bind, man. I want to keep playing. Like, do you know any way that you can help me out? And he came back, and this is a lesson that I try to teach the kids about how you handle business. And he said, you know what, Kenny, I get calls from people like this all the time. Usually I don't help them. But I never forgot how you handled yourself like a young man and told me that you weren't coming to my school. I recruit kids, and I don't see them no more. After, if they're going to another school, I don't hear from them, I don't see them. And the way you handled that, I always respected that and appreciated that. And he said, because of that, I'll help you out. Wow. So he said, let me know that you're serious. I need you to fax, this is what the time we were in, fax me over your transcripts. Wow. And now let me know you're serious. If you can do that by tomorrow, then we'll work on some stuff. Did that right after we got off the phone. He hit me up the next day, like, hey man, I got a coach coming to see you. Come down to my open gym tomorrow.
Wow. Bet.
This was all in like 72 hours. Go down there. It was Will Biggs at Cal State East Bay.
Wow.
And I played well in the little open gym. And Coach Biggs, shout out to him. He was like, yo, can you come down the next day to come see the campus and see if you like it? It's like, bet, I'll be there.
Wow.
And that was that.
I never knew that. Wow, yeah. That's a huge blessing. See, never burning bridges, brother. That's
what it is, blessing. Man. Treat everybody with respect.
Yes, sir. You get to East Bay, bro, and I have my stats somewhere, but you know what I'm saying, I can't remember the head. Buckets, I believe you hold a couple records over there, man, or are you up on that number chart somewhere? How many points did you accumulate over them last 2 years over there, man? What was it like?
The 2 years there, when I left the school, I was the number 7 all-time leading scorer at Cal State East Bay. Now, because they've gone to a little bit of a four-year format here, they got some scholarships. I'm moving down, still in the top 10. I'm hanging on barely. Hey. I'm nine number now. I think I'm number 9 all time scoring. Did that in 2 years. You know, if I can pat myself on the back, a lot of those guys on that list, they have 4 years. I think there's about 3 guys, including myself, that did it in 2 years. Most of the guys did it in 4 years that list. So, yeah, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, left there as a number 7 leading scorer all time. One of the top field goal percentage guys all time there, made 3-pointers, free throw percentage. So I got my name in the books a little bit at East Bay.
That's a blessing. How does that make you feel? How does it make moms feel? I mean, I know they're super proud of you, but how did that make you feel to accomplish that? Consider where we started from, we know our journey right into where you were at right there. How did that whole process getting there and after taking a break, how did that make you feel as a person?
Man, it made me feel like I achieved something, man. Like I, the hard work that I put in wasn't all for naught, man. I went out there and everything that I achieved, it was because of the work that I put in when nobody was looking, you know, when the cameras weren't on me, when people weren't in the stands, you know, all those times that I went out there by myself, you know, for hours, working on my handles, working on my shot, perfecting something. It paid off, you know what I'm saying? It paid off. And it's something that, like I said, at some point, and I hope it happens, you know, because I love the program, but somebody's gonna knock me out of the top 10 at Cal State East Bay. But that's great. I applaud that. Mm-hmm. I'll be there, you know, supporting whoever is doing something like that. But you know, you can never take away the fact that by the time I was done there, I'd left my mark, and you know, and I achieved a little something. So it's something that I'm pretty proud of.
That's amazing, bro. Before we get out of here, though, let's talk KDE ESPN real quick, man. Just how did that KDE part come about, man? Because again, if people that know you, I know you. Like I say, you love to talk. We talk.
Yeah.
Any everything about we passionate about it. But again, I know that has some ups and downs, some struggles, some sacrifices, bro. But how did that part, if you could, and summarize it for me? How did that come about, man? Because right now it is completely taking off, man.
Yeah, man, it's more of the same. It's like the basketball struggle, man. There's a lot of nights when, you know, I'm trying to achieve something and trying to do something, and it's 2-3 in the morning. I'm trying to put this podcast together, and I know for a fact, because I see the listens, I see the type of clicks that I get on it. I know for a fact that no more than 3 people are going to hear this podcast that I'm putting out. And it's like, man, why am I doing this, man?
Facts.
But, you know, you always have a bigger goal than mine, and you always I talk about NIP all the time, man, and it's the marathon. It's not where I'm at now, where I'm on ESPN. It's about 5 years ago when I, like I said, I knew three people were gonna click play. I don't even know how much they're gonna listen to it, but I know that's the plays that I'm gonna get is three people,
Right.
and I'm still gonna be up 3 in the morning trying to put it together, knowing that I got to get up at 6 to go to my 9 to 5 and do it that way. And it's training yourself and going through those dark times when nobody's listening, to hold on to your dream, to believe in yourself. And Nip talked about it one time before. He said, I went through every emotion, man. I went through every emotion. I wanted to quit. I thought I was a man. I thought I was getting overlooked. All this other thing. The only thing that separated me from, and this is what he said, and I can attest to it, the only thing that separated me from from a number of different other people is I didn't quit. I didn't give up. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people go through the dark times. I'm like, man, ain't nobody gonna hear this, man. I'm cool off this. May quit. And I was just like, all right, well, I'll take my little three listens, and I'll try and figure out how to make that into six listens. And I'll figure out how to make that into 13 and then 30. And then maybe one of the 30 people that are listening, maybe it's the right person. You know what I'm saying? And they got a little pull at a radio station, or they got a pull at an ad agency. You never know who's listening, man. And you never know who's out there. So that's kind of how I got to KDE. And then that's how I kind of got to ESPN 1320, just doing this podcast thing. And keep putting it out there, staying consistent with it, staying true to myself, and having guys like yourself along the way. Like I got JT on the show. That's somebody that, okay, we're talking sports, but he helped me because he told his friends about it. He told his in-laws about it. Hey, I'm about to be on this show, man. Check this out. That's another set of ears that listened to what I was doing. And he also gave me credibility because I could say, hey, I got the head coach of Consuming the Soaks for Kennedy High School on my show. And when I asked him to do it was nothing. He was like, yeah, I'll be there. It's nothing. It's good. And having a circle of people that believe in your dream and believe in what you want to do just as much as you do, or close to it, having them in your circle, I mean, all that comes into play, man. So it's a long-winded
Definitely.
way of saying I got here by not quitting, man, and believing in myself. That's really what it was.
I'll definitely attest to that, man. That circle of friends has definitely kept us going through good and bad times, bro. Being at a
Facts.
consistent, you know what I'm saying? Taking L's, but then also knowing that we not done. And again, we can say that, man, because we had a conversation through this little whatever. We seen each other and we're like, man, what's up? We checked in, like, physically. We haven't physically been in range as much, but it's like everything is still going, man. We still grinding. So before we get out of here, just what could you give somebody aspiring to be like Kenny Caraway? Want to get on ESPN, but again, they have to start from ground zero. What would you tell them outside of what you already said? What else kind of jewels or gems you mind dropping for them?
Man, stay true to yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to be anybody else other than who you are. And know that who you are is good enough, man. Being authentic to yourself. And be ready to just grind it out. I'm 37 years old, and I've been doing what I've been doing since 28. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be 10 plus years. You know what I mean? Really trying to do this media thing. It's going to take time. Don't measure your process up with other people's success. So don't see Kenny on ESPN 1320 or a JT doing 94 feet and being like, oh man, like I'm not where they're at, so I'm not doing nothing. No, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're on your path, you're on your journey. Enjoy that, embrace that journey, learn from it, you know what I'm saying? And stick with it. And then if you don't quit, you have more than a great chance to get where you want to get. So just stay with it, man. Don't. That's the one thing that I remember from Nip, and I, like I said, I preach it. Go through every emotion. I wanted to quit so many times. Like I said, I'm up 2, 3 in the morning, man. I'm done with this, man. I wanted to quit, but something about it said I'm just not gonna quit. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm willing to ride this thing till the wheels fall off, man. And that's what you got to be able to do, man. So stay true to yourself. Trust the process. Embrace the process. And set your goals high.
Facts, man. Y'all heard it here first. Shout out to my dog, Kenny Caraway. Again, like I said, if y'all, we gotta do a part two, because there's so much stuff we could go through about, man, our history, man, our families intertwined, man, our pops is homies back in the day, man. So it's so much more there, but we're gonna run it back for y'all for sure. And I appreciate you, dog. I know you got work to do, man. I'm gonna tap in with you.
Hey man, anytime, man. I appreciate you,
Yes,
Jay.
sir.
Hey, keep doing what you're doing, bro. For real, for
All
real.
love, baby. We gonna keep grinding. Iron sharpening iron, baby. We at it.
Always,
Yes,
always.
sir. All right, baby.
All right.
Peace.